So this morning, we are continuing our sermon series, Life in His Name, and our scripture reading today is John 8, 12 through 30. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, therefore, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him, because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself, since he says, 'Where I am going, you cannot come'?" He said to them, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him." They did not understand that they had been speaking to them, that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him.
Well, hey, good morning. My name's Nate. If you're new, come have pizza with me after the service, all right? Would love to hang with you. Otherwise, you know, Pastor Rusty and I, we're going to have a great time just eating pizza, me and him. So anyway, really good to be with you this morning. We've been in the Gospel of John since September, and the basic premise is this, is that John is suggesting, he is submitting his thesis is this, is that there's this deep, abundant, eternal life to be had. And that deep, abundant, eternal life is found in Jesus. And so as he's writing, he's trying to get us to understand who Jesus is. What is he like? What did he do? What did he say? And one of the things that John does in the gospel is he records seven times in which Jesus makes this statement. He says, "I am," and then Jesus fills it in. And the first one was a couple chapters ago. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And this morning, we get the second one in John's gospel. And it's this. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And there's a sense in which each one of these I am statements, they're very accessible. I mean, bread. We all eat bread. Even people who are gluten-free eat bread. Jesus is making himself accessible to us. But today, Jesus talks about light. Light. And so what does it mean? What does it mean? We're going to see three things this morning. We're going to see that light reveals, light heals, and then lastly, we're going to consider, what does it mean to follow? So let me pray, and we'll step in. Jesus, we pray this morning you would illuminate your scriptures by your Holy Spirit so we may know you. Lord, help us to no longer walk in darkness, but that we might have the light of life. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, firstly, light reveals. You know, the other, on Friday morning, one of my kids said, "Hey, would you wake me up at 6 a.m.?" So I walked in the room, and what did I do? I turned on the light. And what did one of my kids do? They pulled the covers over their head, right? They knew it was time to get up, but the light was glaring. It illuminated. We all know this. Light reveals. And when Jesus is claiming to be the light of the world, he's claiming that he reveals. But what is it that he reveals? You know, the context of these words happen at the very end of an important feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles was something that the Jewish nation celebrated annually that commemorated Israel's wandering in the wilderness, the time in which they were had been rescued out of Egypt and were going into the Promised Land. There was 40 years in which they wandered in this wilderness. And if you know anything about a wilderness, you can't really live there for very long. You need help, you need assistance, because you're not going to last. And there were multiple ways where God shows up in the wilderness. One time, multiple times, actually daily, God provided this special bread, this manna, for them to make it. Other times, there wasn't water, and so at various points, God provided water from a rock. What's really interesting is you begin to work your way through John's gospel, you'll notice Jesus actually says he's the fulfillment of those things. So in John 6, Jesus says, "I am actually the true bread of life," way back then. And actually in John chapter 7, Jesus gets up and says, "Actually, I'm the living water." What is Jesus doing? Jesus is saying something. He's saying, those were pictures, those were images, but I am the fulfillment. What's unique about this is it's the end of the feast. And so Jesus is staying in a part of the temple. In verse 20, we read this, that is one of the most common places. And it would have been a place in which they would have lit these huge candelabras with light. This is what they did. And the reason they did that was because one of the ways that God revealed himself in the wilderness was he was a pillar of fire. So look at Exodus 13, 21. Listen to what it says. This, "By day, the Lord went ahead of his people in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or by night." And so they lit these huge candelabras. But what's interesting is that it's the very end of the feast. And as you might imagine it, they're tearing things down. You know, the special things they put up, they're beginning to tear down. And so this particular moment, commentators note that the candelabras wouldn't have been lit. And so Jesus, standing in that spot, says this, "I am the light of the world." What is Jesus saying there? Jesus is saying, the bright presence of God that was with you back then, that was momentary, that was brief, but now I am here. I'm here. I am the fullness. I am light. Jesus in this statement, it's a little bit under, but he's claiming to be God with them. Actually, we'll see this next week. It's a very much more upfront way. We'll see more next week. But here, when he says he's the light, he's claiming to be God. He's claiming to reveal God, because that's what light does. Light illuminates. You know, what Jesus is claiming here is if you want to know what God is like, if you want to know who he is, his character, if you want to know, in contrast, who you are in relationship to God, it all comes down to him. You know, later on in this passage, there's a moment. It's actually kind of surprising because the Pharisees in this text, they're not happy about this claim. They don't think Jesus is speaking truthfully. And remember, these are the people that knew the Hebrew Scriptures, that were religious, were devout. They were the ones who taught Israel. And in John 8:19, Jesus says this to them, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." This is an astounding claim because remember, they're saying, "We know God." And Jesus is saying, "If you don't know me, you don't know God." Do you see the extraordinary claim? I mean, what does that mean for us? Probably a lot of things, but one thing I'll say this is if Jesus is the light, if he reveals the truth, if he reveals who God is, then that contradicts much of what we hear in our day. I'll put it this way. Most people, our kind of modern context, we don't hear Jesus saying, "I am the light," but most people would say something like this, "I am the light." That truth is sort of relative, that it kind of comes down to kind of each person, what they think, what works for them. I remember a number of years ago in a conversation with another father about our kids and faith, and he wasn't a Christian, but he said at one point, he said, "I want my son to grow up and have faith, but for him to figure it out, whatever works for him." Now, in one sense, I get it, right? This is not something you cram down someone's throat. You got to believe this. But in another way, it is suggests that we're the light. We figure it out. But when Jesus says he's the light, the one that reveals, friends, it's an exclusive claim. It's a very exclusive claim. But also note, it's a very inclusive claim. Because what does Jesus say? He says, "I am the light of the world." The world. Think about that. He's not the light for merely one ethnic group. He's not the light for moral people or religious people. It's the whole world. That's what he's the light of. It's available to all. But secondly, about light, we're going to see is that it heals. We kind of see it in the passage because notice Jesus says, "If you follow me, you will not walk in darkness." It's suggesting that there can be change and there can be transformation in our lives, that actually there's a new way of being, there's a new way of living that's available through him. But there's one other aspect we have to see when Jesus says he's the light, because it means more than just that he reveals God or truth. It also means that he's absolutely pure, that he's absolutely holy. So John the author, later on, in a different letter, writes this. This is 1 John 1:5. He says, "This is the message we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." In other words, John is saying, Jesus is holy. He is pure. You know, what's interesting, at the end of this particular section in John 8, Jesus has an astonishing claim. In verse 29, speaking about his relationship to God the Father, this is what he says, "I always do the things that are pleasing to him." Think about that for a moment. What an astounding claim. Jesus is saying, I always obey. I never go my own way. I always listen. I always do the right thing. So when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, it says something about him, that he's holy and that he's pure. But it also suggests something about us. It suggests we aren't, right? We're in darkness apart from him. You know, earlier in John's gospel, in John 3, this is what it says in John 3:19. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Listen, have you ever done something and right afterwards you knew it was wrong? And then you said, I'm never going to do that again. And then you do it again. Is it just me? Have you ever done that? In other words, if you're just human, you understand this simple notion that the darkness is in you and the darkness is in me. And yet Jesus says if you follow him, he's actually going to lead you out of the darkness. He's actually going to change you. He's actually going to transform you. It's a whole new way of being. It's a whole new way of living. Day in, day out. And at first glance, you might look at Jesus, and when he says those words, those who follow me will not walk in darkness, you might initially think of him as a model or an example, which he is. I mean, he's the light. But he's so much more. And we actually see it in this passage. In John 8, verse 28, Jesus says this, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. That language of when I am lifted up. In chapter 3 and in chapter 12, those words, when I am lifted up, are used. And commentators know that throughout John's gospel, when that's used, it's talking about Jesus' crucifixion. It's talking about his death on the cross for us. And notice earlier in the passage, he's talking to the Pharisees who are opposed to him. And he has strong words. In verse 24, he says this, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Those are strong words. Those are sobering words. But those are words that are spoken out of love. I mean, think for a moment. Those you love, when they are in harm's way, you warn. You know, if you have kids and they get near the hot stove with their hands, you yell at them. Not because you hate them, but because you love them. You know, when your friend maybe begins dating someone who isn't good for them, you warn them. You have a hard conversation with them. Why? Not because you hate them, but because you love them. And Jesus is looking at those who are opposed to him. And in love, he's saying, unless you come to me, you'll die in your sins. And if you put those two together, what Jesus says, when I am lifted up, and you'll die in your sins, is simply this. It's the gospel. Jesus is saying this. This is how actually you come into the light. I die for you. I die for your sins. That changes everything. I take the penalty you deserve. And in so doing, my spirit gets put in you, and that begins to change you from the inside out, so that you no longer walk in darkness, but you walk in a newness of life. And it means he's come to heal you. Friends, this is not moralism. This is a relationship. That's what we're talking about here. So light reveals, it heals. So how about following? Following the light. There are actually two responses in this passage to Jesus. And, you know, they're typified actually by, you know, the same response of my kid when I woke them up on Friday morning. You know, it's the putting the blanket over the head. I don't want the light, or it's coming to the light. Those are the two responses. There's not a third. And some of you this morning, maybe you aren't a Christian, or maybe you're not sure. And you hear this claim that Jesus is the light, that he's the truth, that he reveals God, that that he's absolutely pure, and you're not. And honestly, it offends you. It gets underneath your skin. In your mind, you might be saying something like this: how dare Jesus say something like that? That is so narrow. If that's you, guess what? In one way or another, that's actually good, because it actually means you're seeing the light. You're actually seeing what Jesus is saying. You're hearing exclusively what Jesus is claiming. In this passage, when the Pharisees hear what Jesus is saying, in verse 13, they say this: you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. They've heard Jesus' claim, and they in essence say, Jesus, you're a liar. You can't be trusted. And maybe that's where you are today, or maybe you're not sure what you think about Jesus, but the claim, it gets under your skin. Let me give you just a couple things to consider, because this is how Jesus handles this. In verse 15, Jesus says to those where he's getting under their skin, he says this: you judge according to the flesh. And what Jesus is saying is simply this: your judgment is flawed. It's inadequate. It can't see everything. And that may sound harsh, but what Jesus is doing is he is countering their claim and their judgment. He's saying you actually don't have the vantage point you need. But then, here's what he says next. In verse 14, he says, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. And here's what's remarkable. When Jesus says, I know where I came from, we know in John's gospel, he's talking about this. He's saying, I am eternal. I've always been. That's John 1:1. And in John 14, we learn where he's going to be with the Father. After he dies and rises from the dead, he's going to rule and reign. In other words, how Jesus responds to their judgment, he says, guys, hold on. You're not eternal. You don't know where you're going. I do. In other words, you might have a point of view, but I have view. Do you get that? In other words, Jesus is trying to interact with them and trying to say, would you please humble yourself for a minute and consider what I'm saying? And all I can say is, Warren, if you're offended by this claim of Jesus, fine, be honest with it. But would you have courage for a moment to doubt your doubts? Would you consider that you actually can't be your own light? And would you consider the one who says, I am the light, and even consider that the message is that this light gave himself for you? That he's the one who can actually, you can entrust your life to because he has view and he loves you and he is for you. But secondly, how about those of you who are Christian? What does this mean for us? You know, in John 12, 35, it talks about becoming children of light. In other words, when you put your faith in Jesus, there's this new identity. You actually are children of light. It's who you are. In other words, the kind of context is this, is because of who you are, live it out. That's the context. Because this is who you are, because you're children of light, live it out. Let me give you two thoughts about what this would mean for us. One is, we'll look in, one will look out. Firstly, in, it would mean this, to live as children of light means to live holistically versus compartmentally. And here's what I mean. When Jesus says, follow me, in the grammatical tense, it's a present participle, and it means a continuing action. Continuing, it's constant. And that means, I'll put it this way, if we're living this out as children of light, it means we would be the same people here as we are in the workplace. It would mean we'd be the same people here as we are at home. It would mean we'd be the same people here as we are around those who don't follow Christ. That we're consistent. You know, to live compartmentally kind of means you're a different person wherever you are. You know, I kind of know how to act around church people here, but then when I'm with my real friends, then I act like this. Or at work, I'm a completely different person. I'm like those that I work around. You know, it was, a number of years ago, I had a conversation with someone, and they were working in an environment where the one manager was not liked by anybody, and for good reason. And they were a Christian, and what would oftentimes happen is that, you know, they'd go out for happy hour afterwards, after a day of work, and what would ensue would just be a complaining about this manager, a disparaging of this manager. My friend, who's a Jesus follower, he was just like, this is the moment where I know I have to live holistically, distinctly, and my words are few. To follow Jesus means a continuing action. Are we living holistically in all of our lives? Are we consistent or compartmentalized? And let me put it this way. That means, to be honest with you, it just means a lot of repentance. And what I mean by that is you're going to be tempted to go in this direction, or you're going to go in that direction, and you're going to get down to like, wait, that's not the way of Jesus. And then it just means, oh, snap. You come back to the one who died for you. Jesus, I am sorry. Forgive me. You make appropriate ends of those relationships of whatever has been messed, and you own it. But that's the light that's living it out. So that's the in, but how about the out? What's the effect? You know, in Matthew 5:14, Jesus says this to his followers, says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And once heard a pastor put it this way, that to be a city on a hill was to look at this community, and everybody could see it. And it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ. It means to be the body of Christ. It means, for example, the city of Madison ought to look at Christians in the city, and they ought to see themselves and yet not see themselves. And what I mean by that is they should look at the followers of Jesus in the city in their vocations, like healthcare, or schooling in middle school or high school, or in their marriages or in their parenting, that the city of Madison would look at the collective body of Christ and they would, in some measure, see themselves like, oh, I see that they're like me, but also see that they're not like them because of the way they live, the distinctiveness. And friends, that has two effects. One, when you live differently, light exposes. I was listening to another pastor who put it this way. He remarked his ministry. He saw a couple different examples. This one was, there was a post office worker who was a Christian. And those around him came up to him at one point and said, "You need to stop working so hard. You're making the rest of us look bad." Now, just side note, I'm not saying postal workers are lazy. Please don't hear me say that. But this Christian knew, in my vocation, I am called to serve Christ wholeheartedly. That means I'm not serving for a paycheck. I'm serving him, and that changes how I work. And in the setting, just for the sake of how I was serving and working, it actually brought opposition. It's the light. Or secondly, there's another Christian family who at the time lived in an all-white neighborhood. And when a black family moved in, they went across and they welcomed them. And some of the neighbors went to them afterwards and said, "What are you doing? If more of them move in here, our homes will lose value." What is light doing there? Light is exposing the idols. Because we don't serve money. We serve Jesus. It changes how we live. It exposes. It actually brings some level of opposition because it exposes. Do you feel that? But the other thing it does is light can draw. Because there's something about living in the light that is compelling. So I'll give you an example. A number of years ago, a woman showed up at a church, and the reason she was there, afterwards she's talking to the pastor, and he says, "Well, hey, how did you find out about us?" And she goes, "Well, actually, my boss goes here." It was a larger church. And he's like, "Oh, okay. Why would you go to the same place your boss goes," or whatever? And she goes, "Well, actually, a while back, I made a big mistake. And it cost our company a good bit of resources. And my boss, because he had clout and he'd been there a while, he actually took the hit." And after her boss did it, she went into his office and said, "Why would you do this?" She's like, "You know, for me, normally, like what I've had in my experience is managers, when I have a good idea, they take it and they steal it and they take the credit. This is completely the opposite. You have just done the very opposite. I should have been fired. You took the hit. What is going on?" And all I could say was, "Well, here's the thing. I'm a Christian. And the fundamental truth of Christianity is that's exactly what Jesus has done for me. And I value you as a worker and a part of this team. And I knew you couldn't take the hit, so I took it." Friends, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Those who follow me will not walk in darkness." So friends, as children of light, let us walk in darkness. in the light. Let's pray. Father, we pray now that as we work this out in a particular context, that your Spirit would lead and guide and empower us to live this out. Lord, if there are people here who are hiding things, would you bring it to the light for the sake of fellowship with you? Would you help us to be a people who live holistically, who in our coming and going in our relationships with friends and neighbors and coworkers and family, that we would be people who are marked by a following of you, this continuing action. And we pray this for your sake and the goodness and the glory of the gospel that has brought us in to this relationship with you. Amen.